Read together, please, the 90th Psalm. Psalm 90. Last evening we were speaking about the Song of Moses. Mm-hmm. You notice the title of the Psalm is The Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. Here we get his prayer. And the two Psalms, Psalm 90 and 91, are the oldest Psalms in the collection. There are 150 Psalms in the book. But these two were written by Moses. I believe that the 90th and the 91st Psalm were written by the same person. And here we get his prayer, and in the second one, we get his promise. The first Psalm, Psalm 90, it ends with a sevenfold prayer. At the end of the 91st Psalm, we get a sevenfold promise. Now shall we look at Psalm 90? Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even as formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For a thousand years is in thy sight, as yesterday when it is gone, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are like asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. Unto the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. What we get here is pessimism from beginning to end. And it ends with this sevenfold prayer. You remember in the wilderness, there was all kinds of rebellion and mutiny against God. And on account of unbelief, we are told that every one that came out of the land of Egypt, apart from two men, that they would die. And in those 40 years that they were in the wilderness, there were 600,000 men that came out of the land of Egypt, and every single one of them left their bones in the wilderness. That's what Moses is speaking about here. He himself wasn't allowed to cross the Jordan into the promised land. And so this 90th Psalm and his prayer, it's all pessimism from beginning to end. You do a little bit of mental arithmetic, there must have been at least 43 funerals every single day for 40 years. Now that is a very, very pessimistic story. One would love to look at the psalm and the different things that he says about it here, but I leave that. But what we get in the 90th Psalm are those that lost their lives. And it's pessimism from beginning to end. But there were two men that survived. And they went across the Jordan. One was Joshua and the other was Caleb, the men of faith. And I suggest that the 91st Psalm is the experience of the two men that survived. And it's all optimism from beginning to end. Now shall we read the 91st Psalm, where we get the other side of the picture. He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hand, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, and the adder, and the young lion, and the serpent shalt thou trample under foot. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And may God add His blessing to the reading of His precious word. If you think of just what we have said in connection with those that lost their lives in the wilderness on account of mutiny and murmuring and unbelief, and the true survivors, I think that the two Psalms give us the experience of both. Now, I'm not going to speak about the pessimistic side. As we look back over those 40 years in the wilderness, it was a terrible time for Moses, and also for the people of God, murmuring and mutiny all the time. On one occasion, 14,000 men lost their lives. And again, on another occasion, at the end of that journey, 24,000 lost their lives. God had to deal with them in discipline. On the 90th Psalm, it's all about those that failed and that left their bones in the wilderness. But I'll thank God for the two men that survived, Joshua and Caleb. And the experience that they went through, I think, is a description of what we have here in this lovely, lovely psalm, the 91st Psalm. And I'm just going to occupy just a few minutes on looking at just one or two things in the psalm, because they're absolutely delightful. The first little paragraph is one of the most delightful things that we find in the whole collection of the psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall spend the night under the shadow of El Shaddai. To me, that's a tremendous statement. I want you to notice that in this first paragraph, there are four different names for God. And this is the secret place of the Most High. He who dwelleth in the secret place of El Elyon, the Most High, shall spend the night under the shadow of El Shaddai. I will say of the Lord, That is Jehovah. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. The term here for God is Elohim, the Creator God. In Him will I trust. Now here they describe a secret place. And I think anyone that knows anything about God, they know a little bit about this secret place. It's called a fortress and it's called a refuge. And these four tremendous names for God is the four walls of that fortress. First of all, Elyon, the Most High. This is a term that's used quite a lot in the book of Daniel, and it points forward to a future day when Christ will be upon the throne during the millennium. It was first used by Melchizedek, the Most High God. And it would have been interesting to look at the different contexts where we find it. Elyon, El Elyon, the Most High. And then the second one is Shaddai, or El Shaddai. There are two men that used it quite frequently. One, or at least God revealed it to two men. One was Jacob. Jacob uses it six times in his life. Shaddai, Shaddai. And in the book of Job, it occurs 31 times. This lovely, lovely word, Shaddai, I believe comes from Shad, S-H-A-D, Shad, the breast, the human breath. It means the God of all sufficiency and the God that's able to provide for everything. He that dwelleth in the secret place of El Elyon shall spend the night under the shadow of El Shaddai. And then the next one here is that beautiful word that Moses spoke about in his song. The ineffable name, Jehovah. And then finally, the great name of God as the Creator. That is Elohim, a plural word speaking of the creatorial majesty and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we get the secret place of the Most High. Many years ago, there was a brother that ministered the word among the assemblies, possibly known to most of us. His name was James Gunn. He was a very dear friend of mine. I had the honor and the privilege of taking his funeral. And many a time I think of that man and the ministry that he did. But he was having some meetings in Cleveland, and there was a brother there called Dunlap. And we were going to a meeting one night, and Mr. Gunn, he said to Mr. Dunlap, he said, "Brother, do you know anything about the secret place of the Most High?" And the answer that Mr. Dunlap gave was this. "Well," he said, "I can't say that I dwell there. But," he said, "I pay a little visit there once in a while." I thought that was lovely. The secret place of the Most High. How delightful it is. These two men, Joshua and Caleb, they knew a little bit about it. And I think it completely describes the life that they lived. While death was on every hand and the pestilence and one after another being taken from them during those 40 years, here were two men that survived. What a wonderful thing that is. The secret place of the Most High. And then there's a beautiful little addition to it. In the next verse, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust." Now here is another beautiful, beautiful figure. Under His wings shalt thou trust. You know, the Lord, He used this term. You remember in Matthew chapter 23, and our Lord, He must have felt awfully sad. He had been rejected by the nation. And He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her brood under her wings, but it would not. Oh, your house is left unto you desolate. Ichabod was written over. The Lord used this lovely figure as a hen gathers her brood under her wing. But you would not. You know, it's a lovely picture that the Lord here uses in connection with the believer. I remember an African one time, he was speaking about the mother hen. And he said a thing that I've never heard anybody else say. These primitive people, they are very in close contact with nature, and they know some things that we don't. But this brother, anyway, he was speaking about that verse, and he said, you know, a mother hen has four calls. And if you saw a mother hen with her brood, and she's going around with her chicken, the first call she has is a call for food. If she finds some food, she gives a certain call, and the little chicks, they come running, and she pecks there at it, and she shows them just where the food is. That is the first call that she has. The second call that she has is for danger. If there's a hawk overhead, or anything that would swoop down and pick up one of the chicks, she has another call. And it's absolutely distinct from the first one, a call for danger. And she gives that call, and she runs under the bush and puts out her wings again, and the little chicks get underneath the wing, and they're perfectly safe. But then there's a third call. If it starts to rain and it's cold and they need warmth, she gives that call. And again, she stoops down and the chicks go under her wings and they're warm and safe underneath her wings. So there are these three calls. First of all, the call for food. And secondly, the call for danger. And then the third, the call for warmth. But there's another call. And it's not for any of these three. But when she gives that call, it's just that she wants them to be with herself. That is the last call. And there are four distinct calls that the mother hen has. And this African, he spoke again about this secret place of the Most High. And he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. To me, that's absolutely delightful, absolutely beautiful. So this is the secret place of the Most High. Now going down through the psalm, and I'm not going to go into detail about it, I believe that it does describe the experience of Joshua and Caleb, but it also describes the experience of another person, and that is the person of Christ himself. You remember the 91st psalm is the psalm of the temptation. You know, Satan knew this psalm. And when our Lord was out in the desert, out in the wilderness, and when he was being tempted of Satan, the devil, he quoted the 91st Psalm. And he said, why? It says in the scriptures, he took him up to the pinnacle of the temple. He said, cast yourself down. And then he quoted the 91st Psalm. But he misquoted it. You know, he left something out. And not only that, but he added something. And if you compare the passages in the Gospel by Matthew and the 91st Psalm, you'll see what he left out. And you'll also see what he added. And it would be an interesting study to look at that. But thank God, our blessed Lord, he gloriously overcame in the temptation. So the three persons represented by the Psalm is first of all Joshua and Caleb, and then our Lord himself. Thank God that he was the glorious overcomer. Now, there are 10 different perils in the wilderness that the psalm describes. And again, look at them, and you'll see that it's just a duplication of what you find in the book of Numbers in the wilderness. 10 different perils, but they're in three different categories. The first is their enemies. There was Moab, and there was Amalek, and there was the different nations around that they had to face up to, and the enemies, they sought to destroy them when they were in the wilderness. And you get the whole account of it in the book of Numbers. First of all, their enemies. And then secondly, There was disease, the pestilence, and the plague. And then thirdly, there were wild beasts. Read here about the snake, the serpent, and the adder. Oh, they had that too in the wilderness. But these two men, Joshua and Caleb, they were prevented from being involved in anything of this. They were preserved right through the wilderness scene. And then, as we come down towards the end, we find here seven different promises at the end. Psalm 19, we get there a sevenfold prayer. But the answer to the sevenfold prayer we get in the last few verses of the psalm. And just look at them for a moment. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Notice seven times we get the word, I will, I will, I will, I will, a sevenfold promise. The first one is, because he hath set his love upon me. Oh, thank God for the love that has been set upon us. And then, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I won't could spend a long time on these seven different promises, but I just want to leave them there. Notice the last thing that said, it commences with love, and it ends up with long life. You know, as far as Joshua was concerned, he lived to 110 years. The Lord preserved him. And dear Caleb, at 85 years of age, he was willing to tackle the giants. We don't know how long he lived after that. But you remember, at 85, after they arrived in the land, he was willing to take on a difficult task. And at Hebron, he was willing to face the sons of Anak. He was willing to face the giant. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. My beloved friends here this morning, let's go in for that secret place of the Most High. And seek day after day to get in contact with the Lord. And certainly if we do, we too can have that preservation that only God can give. And God does his work for his name's sake. Little word of prayer. Our blessed God and Father, we again lift our hearts to thee unitedly for the beauty of thy word. We thank thee for these wonderful promises. And our Father, we thank thee for thy preserving care. And as we too look back over our little life down here and think of all the preservation that we have realized, our Father, it humbles us before thee. We do thank thee for preserving care, keeping our faith. So many have fallen by the wayside, but our Father, to keep our faith and to have the desire to love thee and to serve thee and to go on right to the end of the journey, our Father, we thank thee for it. And all we do pray that each one of us here this morning may be preserved from the attacks of the evil one, from his temptations and his snares, on the booby trap, our Father, we pray that we may be preserved from it until that moment when we see thee face to face. We commend to thee very especially this morning our dear brethren and sisters that's going on this journey. Lord, protect them and be with them and give them a happy day and bring them back safely this evening. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.